Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos One. So tonight I welcome back the boys, Jesse, Frank and Mark, to go through our probably, well, I guess you could call it a disappointing loss over to Geelong over the weekend. I mean, we kind of half expected that we were going to get a thumping. I think last Thursday when I was on with Siobhan Rowe, I predicted a 10-goal loss and it was pretty much close to that. So, I mean, not that, yeah, we can't be too optimistic about it. We're obviously all really disappointed. We're all obviously very frustrated supporters at the moment. But, yeah, there's still some things to like, Harry Sheasel and a few others. So, yeah, let's not waste any more of your valuable time and let's bring on the boys to chat about it. So tonight, I welcome back the lads, Mark, Jesse and Frank this week. Boys, tonight I've just decided to edit last week's podcast into this week, so thanks for coming on. No need. No, we won't do that. I'm just joking there. No surprises about the result on Sunday. Another comprehensive loss. We kind of expected it. We talked about it last week. Frank, I'm going to start with you this week. I think I predicted a 10-goal loss, which is about right, but what did you think of the game?
Dean, I thought we did a lot of things well. I thought our tackle count was up, our disposals were good. Line continues to be a really, really big concern for me. I don't think that's functioning well at all. Poor old Tyler Sellers. And you can be forgiven. First game, look, completely lost and out of his depth, but he's not the first guy to sort of freeze up on debut.
Do you think he could kick 100 goals this year?
Tyler Sellers?
Well,
he won't get 100 possessions this year, Mark.
All right, no. I might be being a tad optimistic. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, no, look, but you've got to forgive the kid. As I said, not the first one to panic. I thought the big difference, Dean, from my perspective anyway, was I thought they looked much, much stronger, physically stronger through the midfield. They stood up in tackles, managed to get handballs out when we couldn't, and in the end, they were just too classy.
Yeah, I think that was a common theme with Alistair Clarkson after the game, that they were just physically a lot bigger than us and bullied us in the contest. Jesse, any different thoughts to Frank there?
No, look, I think he said it pretty well. I'm going to try and be positive tonight because I was mindful after last week. I think I made a tweet to one of the posts about the podcast that I was going to come into this week with a positive light. And I put a tweet out yesterday to see what people's thoughts were in terms of positive things I could say. So, yeah, look, you went down there. I didn't walk away from it disappointed. And that's probably the sad thing that I think about because I went down there, and I was saying to my partner on the drive down, I said, look, this could be 100 points here. This could be really grim. And, to walk away and go, oh, geez, we only lost by, 75-odd, it almost felt like a win. Oh, it felt at least expected. And that's kind of a bit of a sad reality of where we're at the moment. What is becoming very apparent very quickly this year is how young we are. I think that's almost understated. If you look at our average age against any other team in the competition, it's incredible. Our average age is, a good year less than any other team in the comp, other than Hawthorn. But even then, we're a year and a half.
But isn't that just a part of the fact that Zeeble, Cunnington...
Oh, it is. No, absolutely, it is.
And the guys that weren't really contributing that much last year are gone. Yeah. And that's brought our average age way down.
Yeah, I think what's more interesting than the actual age...
I don't think that excuses us that.
No, I think what's more interesting the age is the experience. So if you look at a Hawthorn, for example, who are 0.6 of a year older than us on average, they're averaging an extra 14.2 games So we're average, our average per player is 65 games.
I think the biggest, the bigger issue is, and I'm not disagreeing with what exactly what you're saying is 100% correct, but I don't think it's any different from last year or the year prior. We haven't had any players over the age of 25 that have been dominant players for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and that's the main problem, that, you know, when you've got a list that is that exposed from an age perspective, like, I'd have to go back to see who, you know, who's even comparable to that from an age perspective. You're probably looking at your expansion clubs.
And then you've got Ben McKay leave for greener pastures at the age where he was becoming more mature, and then goes to this and says, oh, there's a lot better senior players here. Well, of course there is now, mate. You've just left and made it. You've given us even less senior players at North. I mean, that, I found that really frustrating today, hearing that interview. Because, yeah, look, Goldstein had every right to move on. No one could, of course, we can't begrudge him that. And we need Cherry to become the number one ruckman. So that's a non-issue for me. But for McKay's talking about the fact, oh, there's much better a senior group at Essendon. We just haven't had it at North. Like, unfortunately, Zeeble was at the end, Cunnington was at their end, and they weren't great athletes either. So they weren't the best examples out on the track, unfortunately. No. They were the best examples on the field, putting a head over the ball, not the best examples of two-way running. So,
no. Oh, exactly right.
Unfortunately, with that gap is a real problem for us.
I would say the biggest gap for us is the standard of leadership out there.
Yeah,
in terms of showing an example to the players how you train, what's required, but also the leadership out in field. It is evident, and that's probably where I was getting with the age and experience, is that it's evident out there that there's a lack of leadership. Especially, I'll tell you what was interesting. I was saying just before we joined that. I was sitting with the cheer squad. I went down, watched the game. I was sitting in row three, so just behind. When they were getting some easy goals, and they got some very easy goals, the most frustrated person down, actually the three most frustrated people down there, Charlie Comden, Sheasel, and Biggie. They were the ones who you could just tell were upset when the opposition scored goals. It was one point where, you know, a goal got through easy and it wasn't Sheasel's fault. And he punched the ground. Yeah. Punched the ground. And then there was a moment where Simpkin gave him a bit of a clip, which I hope he didn't, or gave him some stern words to pass on as the, you know, as you know, a leadership group player for the back line.
That's why they're going to get Archer back there.
It's just
he'll be the same.
It's just the level of standard being driven by the more mature players is just non-existent.
Jesse, have you ever seen live watching the game? Have you ever seen more easy goals get kicked?
No.
As in just lack of pressure, running into an open goal.
No, but falling
on the ground, and there's North players around, but it doesn't feel like they're really around.
I have not seen a team leak goals this easy, other than the expansion clubs in their first year.
Yeah, I agree.
And Melbourne against Geelong when they lost by 180 points or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
If you want to compare us to any of the other clubs that were down, Melbourne for most of theirs, Carlton, they're not even close to us. We are non-competitive.
Which makes it interesting that we only lost by 70 points, because it looked like we were going to lose by 130 the way we were leaking goals that way. So there's some things they're doing really well, but some things they're doing so badly, and there has to be either consequences or some line in the sand where you go, if you do not do these things defensively, you cannot play in the side. Now, I'm not a great fan of Ross Lyon necessarily as a coach, because he's very defensive, but you either do as he says or you don't play from a defensive 100%. Perspective. And that's the one thing we lack at the moment. It's just that 100%, you either do this or you cannot play in the side. Sort of the two-way running, defensive efforts, get caught behind your opponent. Like David King exposed us badly on first crack on Sunday night with this embarrassing lack of defense, it's under 15 footy type stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily blame Clarko for that, or even the coaches, because I'm sure you know, behind closed doors, they'd be having some stern words. And Clarko, to me, looked far more depressed than I've ever seen him. And I know a lot of it was to do with the horror of what happened in Sydney on the previous day night, which is totally understandable. But also, I think he's getting a bit frustrated with what happened. Like the way he spoke about the first quarter and the way we allowed ourselves to be dominated in that first 10 minutes, I think that's where he sounded frustrated to me. But
agreed.
I just think there's got to be a line in the sand drawn at some point about, I mean, forget the supporters. I don't mean forget the supporters. I agree with the supporters about this Sunday and we need to be competitive / beat Hawthorn. But it's more about this is two-way running, defensive efforts, pressure and all those sorts of things. It's the general effort. And I don't mean not trying. I just mean the trying when you don't have the ball sort of effort. It's starting to get frustrating for supporters because West Coast have shown they can do it. Richmond did it the week before, albeit they couldn't do it in West Coast. West Coast play like that, we can play like that. Like, I'm sorry. There's not that much difference. That's an attitudinal confidence type thing that has exposed us. And I know we've had a tough draw, and there's no doubt we have. But we can't just make excuses for that side of the game forever. Like, defensively, after 4 or 5 years, I think we all expect us to be better than that.
Yeah. Mark, we talk about senior players and the players that have left us. Now, on the weekend, we had players over 28 years old. There was four of them. Hugh Greenwood, Luke McDonald, Darcy Tucker, Aiden Corr. Would any of those blokes get a game at another club?
Superstars.
No, would any of those players get a game at another club?
No, none of them would.
Maybe Aiden Corr, you can make a case for him, but the others very honest.
I don't think you can make a case for any of them. To be honest with you, I think, maybe Aiden Corr, but back playing at GWS, obviously where he built up his reputation, but at the moment he's struggling for us. And I think that's a lack of pre-season too, by the way. I don't think he's...
But once you cross that white line, Mark, that's it. You declared 100% fit. There's no excuses. If he's not...
Well, that's true. And to be honest with you, he's playing on a small... He's playing on small forwards and not even helping the tall forwards. Sorry, the tall defenders. So I just... I'm struggling to see what he's bringing at the moment. I would prefer, I'm sure a lot of supporters would... selection integrity. Like, if you're out of form, you're not playing in the side. If you're not doing the defensive things, you're not playing in the side. I don't care how many kids play. I don't care how old the senior players are, as long as they've got that attitude in terms of the selection. Because we can all accept defeat. It's just when it's meek or it feels like we're panicking or we've got guys who are out of form, out of confidence playing the side that should be. Look, to be fair, they put Stevenson back in the seconds. They've got Phillips playing in the seconds. I think he had over 10 tackles on the weekend. I think he had 25 possessions. The mids are getting cooked. They need some support. I just hope they keep rotating players through based on form. That will please me more than anything else.
Yeah. Frank, are you still with us?
Oh, yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, that's good to hear. You haven't nodded off. That's good.
No, I'm still here.
Yeah. Now, Frank, the skills of the team. Now, even Clarkson talked after the game. He said, we had 30 clingers compared to their 15. Now, I know we've talked about defensive efforts and the two-way running, and David King's highlighted that. But if you continually butcher the ball, it's hard to run back the other way. I mean, 30 clingers, you're giving away 7-8 goals in that alone. And I guess, you know, we've had a very young team out there and, you know, Charlie Coleman made a couple skill errors and there was a couple other young kids that make the skill errors, which we can cop, but we're getting skill errors from Darcy Tucker, Zach Fisher. I mean, these are players that have played over 100 games. They've got to set a better example, don't they?
Well, and you left out Jai Simkin, Dean. I think of his 19 disposals, 10 went directly to the opposition, and I don't know whether that's because he's captain and we sort of hold him to a higher standard, or we just notice it more. But I think it sends a really poor message when your captain is one of the worst users of the ball, whether that's because of form or confidence or whatever. And then, like they say, it sort of starts to spread throughout the side. And before you know it, nobody wants to bite off that kick that opens up the corridor, because they don't want to be the one that turns the ball over, and you get the long down the line kicks to, you know, which just got picked off time and time again. Makes it very easy to defend again. And then you throw in, like you got boys were saying before about the lack of defensive pressure. I think they put up a stat halfway through the last quarter, Dean, on Foxtel, that I think of the 18 goals Geelong had kicked at the time, halfway through the last quarter, 13 had come from our turnovers.
I mean, Frank, this is easier said than done. But as a supporter, would you prefer us to play in a way where we're going all out attack? If we mess it up, bad luck. And if we do mess it up, we'll go all out defensive pressure to try and make up for it. Because at the moment, this looks like this scared, lack of confidence footy that we play. Yeah. That's what it looked like to me on the weekend.
To me, Mark,
they just went all out, risk-taking. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. And if it does, we'll do everything we can to defend. Whereas at the moment, we don't do much to defend, and we're scared of making a mistake anyway. Yeah.
I think maybe with the exception of the last 2 weeks, Mark, I feel that like we start on a positive footing, and then some turnovers happen, and then everyone seems to lose their confidence and go into that shell of, I'll either take a meaningless chip kick to the right or left and put the pressure on someone else to use the ball effectively, or we just go long down the line. And I think you can almost feel that lack of confidence go through the team once we start to get a few goals behind or we have a bad turnover. And then you get what we've probably had the last 2 weeks, where within the space of 15 to 20 minutes, effectively the game's over.
Well, it's a game of musical chairs. Who's going to be the one that fucks it up in the end? Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
Someone's going to make the bad chip kick that goes wrong. And it's like, well, I'm under pressure. I'll still chip it. It'll go 15 metres and the ball's straight over my head for a goal. It's hard to watch it. It's like, okay, you're under that much pressure. Don't chip it now. Now's the time to kick it 50 metres. It's like they've just got themselves into this mess at the moment. And where's North Ball gone? Where's all the fast moving through the corridor stuff? That's gone.
Yeah, teams complain against sideways. Teams complain against the quad easily. It's a very narrow ground at Geelong too, so it's hard to go through the corridor.
That's true.
We tried it probably one too many times. But at the end of the day, we don't have any key position players besides Nick Larky to kick the ball long down to either. So there's plenty of problems. Another problem, Jesse, I know Mark talked about holding players accountable, making team changes, but we're getting a lot of injuries. And it's only five rounds in. We've lost two players to season-ending Achilles injuries. I don't even know another team that's had an Achilles injury. Others through soft tissue. We can't afford to keep losing players like this every week, because we won't be able to field a team soon.
Yeah, look, I want to know if there's any, and I've heard a few people mention this, I'm wondering if there's any interlink at all with the work done on Arden Street. I heard a few people
say... That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, was the new turf? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a few people who have been able to walk out there say that it feels a little bit hard. Now, in terms of getting two Achilles injuries and linking it to that, maybe it's a factor, but, you know, ultimately that's just a lot of bad luck. But you are spot on. I mean, Dawson going down, albeit giving Big Ian opportunity, which is great. You know, Dawson was starting to show some real... Dawson had been a bit of a rock down there. So ideally, if Dawson's fit, now that you've got Biggie, you know, I think he showed some good signs. You have an opportunity, if Cause not, you know, performing, to actually make a call on him and say, this isn't good enough. But with Dawson out, that, you know, that hurts. McKercher, luckily, it looks like good to go. Just bruised ribs. Maybe you give him a week off and then he's raring to go for the next week. Maybe you bring him in. They'll make the right call there. But there is some players going down. And I think Goda going down in particular, and then Bergman going down, has really, really hurt us, because both of those 100%. Players are a good size they are, you know, they're rebounding defenders, but they're also actually able to defend. That completely weakened our defense. It removes us from having any options at all around that medium.
Gave us no flexibility.
Yeah, medium defender. And either of those guys can probably play, you know, smaller than them anyway. So it just, it removed all our flexibility out of the back line, just losing those players. I think, you know, those two are big. You know, obviously Coleman Jones out means that we're a little bit more limited in terms of what we can do in terms of a forward line. But yeah, we are getting some injuries. And all it's going to take is for that, you know, is for an injury to happen to one of our key players in terms of the ones who I would actually say can hold their heads high this year. You know, the deck of cards, if it hasn't already fallen over, is going to completely get thrown around. So,
I mean, you made a good point about Larkin needing some support. And by the way, I was only, you know, being a smart ass about Sellers having a terrible first, not wasn't a terrible first game, but a very difficult first game.
Yeah, it's a tough gig going down there, isn't it?
Oh, look, you can't imagine a worse place to go for your first game than in the situation North was in. I hope they play him again this week because
100%.
Yeah, we need that to develop. We can't just let that be a one-week thing.
Now, Mark, you've been very vocal about Cameron Zerha, and you think he's almost gone and one foot out the door. What do you make of Nick Larkey's comments where he was quoted as saying, it was just yesterday, he's talking about his 100th game, and he quote, and this is his exact quote, he said, anyone can run to a top team and try to win the flag, but does that flag mean as much as the one where you've done the hard work? Do you think that's maybe hinting to Cameron Zerha, you know, don't, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Maybe you should think about staying.
I've got no way of being able to read his mind, but if he's not talking to Cameron, he's talking to a lot of players at the club. Yeah. It was the absolutely pointed message to a number of people at the club. So I'd be shocked if it wasn't pointed at Cameron. He was careful to say that I know for a fact Cameron wants the club to do really well, blah, blah, blah. But there is no way of looking at that any other way that it was a very strong message to whether it was Cameron or other players at the club. It certainly wasn't to Sheasel because he's already signed up for as long as he has.
Yeah.
It could well be to McKercher and a few of the other younger guys there, to Dersmer and McKercher, about, I know it's tough now, but I've been here for 100 games and I'm not leaving. I'm going to hang. I mean, I've been talking about this for the last 3 or 4 weeks ad nauseum, that talking about, I want to see his play fine. This is the part that frustrated me about Zerha's comments 4 or 5 weeks ago. I want to play finals. Hopefully we play finals this week, this year, as if he's removed from the whole thing. It's like Larky's saying, I'll help us get to finals. Sheasel's saying, I'm going to help us get to finals. Come with me. This is going to be tough. It's going to be hard for 3 or 4 years. But when it happens, God, it's going to be sweet because we've been through all this tough nightmare. And as supporters, we can all relate to that because it is very hard. But it's, I think, you know, we need to remind ourselves it's bloody hard for these guy players as well. We've got to show the respect for the guys that are staying through this, albeit they're well paid, but they could be well paid anywhere. So, I'm angry with you're aware of this. I've said it the last 3 weeks. I'm angry with Cameron Zerha because I hated what he said. I hated, let's hope we play finals this year, knowing damn well that was never going to happen. Which signaled to me, I'm off, I'm leaving. I do think, like he was saying to him, okay, you're going to go and chase a team near the top four to play finals, but what does that mean? You haven't helped them make finals. They're already on the verge of it.
And I actually think that the forward line, albeit, you know, I'm not going to say it functioned well on the weekend, but I actually think that the players who would have played in Zerha's position on the weekend,
I totally agree with you, Jesse.
Functioned well, aka Eddie Ford. Yep. So I wouldn't be rushing to get him back anytime soon.
I already think Eddie Ford's a better player. I don't mean that, you know, as a personal criticism of Zerha. I just think Eddie Ford gets 20 possessions and kicks 2 or 3 goals because he can run hard both ways. I think Dersma's going to be similar. He's even a bit taller than Ford, and he's a beautiful mark. He's got the Royce Hart fly across the top, and he's very clever at first, very clean with his hands. Curtis is a hybrid small forward, medium forward. He can take marks. He's also good on the ground. I don't really think Zerha's the sort of player we're missing at the moment. We're missing a highly defensive small forward or a second tall for Larky on the forward line. So he doesn't really relate to what we need right now, or nor can he play key defensive player, or is he a great... he can't go on the back line and be able to deliver the ball off there. And we've got enough midfielders coming through the system. You know, that's the last thing we need. Although, albeit right now, he's a strong body that can help us short term. So if he's going to go, go. I wouldn't be upping our offer, whatever we put forward for the 5-year deal we've already put forward. He's lucky to be given that, to be honest.
I agree.
So if he wants to stay at the club and he's committed, do it. If we keep it, if this goes on for 3 or 4 weeks, I'd just say go and play in the VFL. Well, we've got plenty of hybrid half forwards that can play your role. I don't even know why we're worrying about it. That to me is a non thing. I think Larky's comments, I'm sorry I've dragged this comment on for too long, but it was, I think you're at the end of the day, I think it was more pointed at the younger kids, but no doubt it was partly to him as well.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was a little hidden message to Cameron Zerha there. Yeah. Yeah. We'll go back to the game. The back line, Harry Sheasel, Frank, 38 disposals, 15 marks, a goal, 2 score assists with precision kicking inside 50. Compared to everyone else on the team, it was a bit surprising that someone hits targets. But this guy gives us hope, doesn't he?
Oh, just such an elite kick and daring kicks too. Like he was prepared to take that risky kick and just so full of confidence for a kid his age that I don't know whether he's probably just an average kick, but when you put him in our side, because half the other blokes can't hit the side of a bus.
He's not an average kick, Frank.
He looks every bit an elite ball user in everything he does. Yeah. And yeah, look, half jokingly, I think sometimes I wonder whether he looks so good because people around him are so poor in that department, but it's just, just a kid who works hard defensively, offensively. He's brave with his disposal use. He's just he's just a pleasure to watch.
As long as he stays fit, he'll win our best and fairest again. 34.4 disposals a game, 8.8 marks. His tackles have gone up as well. So he's doing everything. He's pretty much carrying his team. And he's how old he is? He's 19 years old, 6 months.
Yeah.
So, It's just crazy how good he is. And we could certainly use more of him. Jesse, I want to get your thoughts on Zach Fisher. It's been 5 weeks since he has been in the back line at the club, averaging 22 disposals a game. Disposal efficiency is at 79%. 350 metres gained per game, 5.6 intercepts a game, all career highs. But he hurts the team by being a liability as an actual defensive player. What are your thoughts on him?
But, you know, I think we've mentioned this before. It's a bit of nothing. It's just kind of him being in the side. I wouldn't say offensively he's offering us a massive amount. I don't think defensively he's offering us anything.
But, Jesse, to be fair, the offensive stats that you just got described were reasonable. As in meters gained and disposal, that's not too bad for a player playing off half back.
No, absolutely not. Look, I think the thing is mostly just the impact he's got with it offensively. You'd like to see a little bit more from him. Look, and if we had structured the defense correctly, where you've actually got people who can defend down there, then it takes it away. It doesn't matter as much. But at the moment, we're expecting too many players who aren't defensive minded to defend.
No, I agree.
I would still question whether or not that is his best position. If you're sold on playing Sheasel down there, if you're sold on playing some other blokes down there like Bailey Scott, well, we won't go into that. Maybe try him somewhere else. I don't know. You can't
have 3 or 4 players in the back line that aren't there to stop the opposition kicking goals.
No, definitely. We talked about it last week a fair bit, that we've just got too many of those, like Bailey Scott's, Colby McKerch's, undersized, small defenders that all try and do the same thing.
Arthur's got to play soon.
Well, he wasn't far away from playing on the weekend. I think he was emergency, wasn't he? So, yeah, I mean, probably just a bit more
match fitness. He didn't get a lot of possessions in the VFL, but they were very happy with his defensive efforts. I'll be shocked given Hawthorne's small forward lineup if he doesn't play this week.
He didn't get a lot of possessions last time he was in the VFL before he got given a credit.
No, that's right.
And exactly. I thought he looked better at AFL level.
100% agree. I'll be shocked if he doesn't play this week, given they've got three small forwards that basically are their main forward setup, because they've got Mitch Lewis out. They haven't got many tall forwards. They're totally relying on their small forwards. We're going to have to make sure we've got that covered this week.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions about that and which way we go selection this week against Hawthorn. Mark, Biggie Newen looked pretty good and did some good things with 19 disposals and a team high 7 intercepts. I thought for his first game, he certainly wasn't out of place, and he was under a fair bit of pressure from the Geelong team because we seemed to butcher the ball a bit. I mean, he's prone to the odd mistake, but there's something there to work with, isn't he?
Oh, I think as a guy who's only played, what, 2 or 3 games of AFL, I thought he was outstanding. I was very excited by him. I thought he was the number one positive out of the game. I thought Chom, again, was just unbelievably courageous.
Yeah.
So those two really excite me about, and Chom can play either end. I mean, he can throw himself at the ball on the forward line or the back line. I think it'll be equally as effective. But yeah, Biggie's a clever footballer. He knows where the ball's going. He reads it very well. His intercepting was excellent. For a guy who's playing his second AFL game, very promising. Whatever happened, I mean, look, Callum Dawson has obviously got the the ankle ligament injury. It's going to keep him out for a few more weeks, so he's not going to be back. Even if he was back this week, I would have thought we would have had to push Biggie either forward or Chom forward to keep them both in the side, because I think we've picked up a really good player there.
Yeah, which cost nothing effectively. I think I think it was a pick in the 70s, so yeah, they pretty much just gave him to us. But yeah, there's something to work with. He's definitely got a lot of athleticism, so he comes in very handy. He could be a really good intercepts player, a bit like CJ from Hawthorne. Very similar player to him. So, yeah. Frank, what do you think of the midfield? To me, and this is just not this week, it's probably the last few weeks, they struggle in the contest against the bigger, mature bodies. I think Clarkson mentioned it, and even Harry Shees will mention it. How can you fix this? Maybe do you look at Hugh Greenwood for a mature body in there for a period of time?
I think this is where we probably, you know, we'd all like to see, you know, Will Phillips, the third and fourth year players, start to come through and even break even against those bigger bodies, rather than trying to find the answers with Colby McKercher and George Wardlaw, who are physically probably not developed enough to go up against those bigger bodies. There's nothing really we can do. It's probably a trade-off, Dean, where you're trying to expose the young kids to experience, but you don't want to keep exposing them to bad experiences.
We'll have a look. It's a good point, Frank. That's a perfect comment to make. So remember they said last week we wanted to play Wardlaw against Neil and against Brisbane, and he got smashed. And then he comes out in the following week, and he looked like he had no confidence whatsoever in the first quarter this week. And he had 3 possessions. And George Wardlaw, I've never seen him look like so lost. All positives towards him, because he came back after that and really did a good job. But the first quarter, he looked absolutely out of sorts.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think we've got to be very mindful of balancing, exposing them to overexposing them and then, breaking their confidence. This is where I'd like to come in, possibly. I know Zerha may or may not play. I think we need to expose guys like McKercher, Sheasel and Wardlaw almost like in a drip feed system, and just face the fact that we're going to be slightly more competitive if we play those bigger bodies through there. at the expense of throwing the young kids in the deep end. So
I mean, McKercher must weigh 70 kilos.
Oh, yeah. There's absolutely nothing of him. But, you know, we're exposing him at half back where he's physically, you know, going to come up against some big bodies as well. And you wonder, is that any more benefit to him than putting him at half forward or in a pocket and then exposing him for 5 minutes a quarter in the midfield? Dean, to answer it, I don't think there's any quick remedy unless all of a sudden you can put 6 or 7 kilos on our first and second year players. I think we're just going to have to be patient with the midfield and expose them, you know, bit by bit. You know, again, maybe against a side like Hawthorn, who are also, you know, struggling a little bit, that's where you might be able to be a bit more confident of exposing him.
Frank, should the captain play more time in the midfield?
Yeah, well, depending on which one you're talking about, but Simkin is not
working. Luke McDonald.
No, well, Simkin is not working at half forward. We need to, if nothing else for his size, he needs to get back into the midfield and start to give us something out of there because it's just not working at half forward.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Josh Simkin, you know, he's getting a lot of criticism as well. That was going to be my segue anyway. The only the 20 touches and eight turnovers out of those 20 touches. I think Frank mentioned he pretty much pushed the ball every time he got it on the weekend. He's averaging 15.3 disposals a game this year. He's second lowest since his second year, I think. He's barely attended a centre bounce this year. Frank and Mark pretty much, and everyone else knows, the high half forward role isn't working. He's only kicked 1-3, and we need a mature body in the midfield. Do you think it's a case of being protected with his concussion issues and they don't want him in the guts? Because to me, this is really confusing right now.
Look, I think it definitely is a bit of that. He did have 12 CBAs on the weekend, which is a little bit more than he had had previously. But I do think they are protecting
him. That's centre bounce attendances for all those wanting to know.
Yes. Get my champion data hat off. Yeah, he had 12 centre bounce attendances on the weekend, which, you know, our breakdown, which I've been critical of all year, was your LDU 28, your Tristan Series 27, Powell had 26, Wardlaw 24. So it is still very top heavy in my opinion. Like the Geelong mix looked a lot better than ours. Then you got Simkin 12, Greenwood 6, Lazaro 6, McKercher 3, and then injured. And that's all, really. So I think the split, there needs to be more of a split there. And I do agree, we need to get some mature bodies in the middle because against, like the last 2 weeks, we've been up against very mature teams. You look at what's happened. You know, we've got players getting beat up around the ball. You know, it would be a prime opportunity to give Simkin a lot more time in there to see exactly what he can do. I'm mindful of the fact that LDU doesn't look 100% right, whether or not there's something going on there, but he's just not performing to the level he has in the past or we were expecting him to do this year. It means, you know, for all intents and purposes, Tom Powell's been our best midfielder this year, and that's great to see. But ideally, you'd have Tom Powell operating at this level, LDU operating at the level you'd expect. And then that would take a massive amount of pressure off a Wardlaw, who I think's done really well up to date, albeit I think the last 2 weeks he's looked a little bit more tired. And that's just because he's getting beaten up at the contest because he's you know, getting thrown in there so much. And I do agree. I would be balancing that third midfield role out a little bit more. It's just bizarre when you're not, you know, you've got an opportunity to get Simkin in there. It's not working up forward. You know, when he does get the ball in free space, as you do as a flanker, he's not a great kick anyway. At least in the midfield, he can just extract the ball. So they need to come up with a different mix there. I'm still shocked that Simkin, that we haven't given Sheasel any midfield time. I understand that we need someone who can kick it out of the back line, but if you saw his ability to give it to forwards on the weekend, and some of those passes were absolute lasers.
But he was playing the back line when he did that, Jesse.
He was. I did notice that he was moving a little bit higher up the ground.
I think he's got free reign anyway.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. So it looked like on the weekend they gave him, they've told him, if you want to go up to the contest after, you know, the ball gets bowled up, you can do that. And that's what he seemed to be doing a lot more. But I'd be giving him even just a couple centre bounce attendances to see what he can do. I think I've said all year we need a more even mix in there. And I'm concerned with Jai's ability to play another role other than the, you know, the centre.
Parrish Jesus attends one centre bounce this year so far. So, yeah, that is surprising because that was all the talk and all the rage in the pre-season, and they've completely gone away from that. But, we'd love to have about three of him, to be honest with you. Tristan Sherry, again, has come through with another solid performance. And I think you mentioned it last week. If he goes down, then we have no one in the wings to take his spot in the ruck on the list. Taylor Goad is too young and Hamish Free. But 13 disposals, 39 hitouts, 10 to advantage, 5 clearances, 8 tackles again. Only one mark, though. And if he can start asserting himself around the ground and take a few more marks, then we have a very good ruckman here, Mark. He's only averaging 2 marks a game. That's his downfall, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to forgive his marking around the ground. Given his competitive effort elsewhere, I think it's that'll come. I think that's just more of a confidence thing with him. And the more he realises that this job is his for the long term, which I think is absolutely the case. I think I love his competitiveness around the ball after the tap out. I think he's either one or two for us in terms of contested possessions.
Mark, I actually think he's equal first in the comp for tackles.
There you go. So
he's second for contested possessions, but just slightly.
Yeah.
So
he's right up there. So he's doing a great job.
And he's significantly our highest clearance player. Crazy.
And that's burning a lot of energy doing all of that, tackling and being around that sort of thing, and then having to get to marking contests is hard. But more than happy with him. I just want a better rotation around him. I think they need people like Phillips in that midfield mix to help him out. So I think there's too many, with too much reliance on two or three of those mids. And they're getting cooked, and I think they need Phillips to be an extractor. And he's doing 16-7 in handballs at the VFL, 12 tackles. That's what we want in the seniors. So hopefully he's done what they wanted him to do to bring him into the first. And I think we'll get a better mix. I think that's been wrong in the first 4 or 5 weeks of this year in terms of that midfield mix. But to your point, Dave, if he gets injured, we're in all sorts of trouble. We've got nothing. And now with Coleman Jones gone, we've got no backup. Finbar Malley's probably our best hope as a ruckman if he does get injured.
Oh, it probably would be, yeah, to be honest with you, which is probably saying something. But, we'll worry about that if it does happen. Forward line, Blake Drury, for his first game, looked pretty good as a small forward, I thought. I know you aren't a fan because of the whole redhead thing, but he took his chance with 2 goals, 17 disposals, 6 score involvements in a tough game. I don't think he could have done any more than he did.
No, he won me over, Dean. I went
hair,
and whatever.
If he dyed his hair blonde,
I did.
Frank, you'd love him.
No, I went and dyed my hair red, Mark. Whatever's left of it, to join in. So, in all seriousness, I thought he was very good. I think, particularly in a game where there was very, very limited opportunities for anyone, in particular small forwards, I thought he did everything we could have hoped for. I thought he was busy. He converted. Very disappointed if he didn't get a game again this week.
No, he'll definitely get a game. It'll be a walk-up start, I would think. So, yeah, no, look, at the end of the day, I mean, we've cried out for small forwards, and he did his job. Like you said, in a tough game, in a 75-point loss, there's not much else you could have asked for him. So, yeah, he actually plays a good team role. Like, I think his defensive pressure, he definitely tries. Would like to have, would like to for him to have a bit more pace, but, we are where we are at the end of the day. Tyler Sellers, with only the one touch on his debut in the last quarter that came in. A tough initiation for the young man against quality opposition. Nick Larkey got 0 touches on his debut. He's doing one better than him, I guess.
Yeah, that's what my thought was. I thought he's going to become the second coming of our man. Nick Larkey. So, look, I think it's a positive sign. Well, no, look, I watched him. As I said, I was at the game and I was pretty close to the goal, so I got a lot of time to watch him. I was strongly of the opinion that, you know, it's a really tough role against the Geelong defense. Yeah. They've got a very good defense. You're talking about Stewart. Yeah, a lot of the day, you know, he spent time on Stewart. He spent time on, you know, Dacone, etc. They've got a quality defense, and you know, coming in from a VFL level, it's a completely different experience.
You know, hey, Jesse, I was going to say, if ever a disposal summed up a guy's game, he's so like a bloke who was absolute in shock and lack of confidence. He was 50 out. He couldn't get rid of it quick enough.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But, you know, if I was, and I'm sure he would have done that, if I was Larky, I would have got around him and said, you know, don't stress.
Yeah.
It, you know, this happened. Well, I can prove more than anyone that this happens.
Yeah.
So
they've got to give him another game.
100. If they drop him.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. If he got dropped this week, who do we go back to? What, the Greenwooded Zerha and
nah,
and nah. Yeah, that's worked real well. We need someone who's a genuine forward, and he's the only other genuine forward. As in,
give him another crack this week, 100%.
Like, he's going up against the Hawthorn defense. If he has an absolute mare against them, then all right, then you can go. You need a little bit more time at the VFL, etc. Potentially, but you got to give him it. You've really got to give it a go.
Yep,
100%.
Definitely. Yeah, and he'll get another game this week. And against Hawthorn, he might be half a chance as that second forward, getting their second defender. Because, they don't have a great defence either at the moment. No. Mark, do you think it's time for Zane Dersmer to have a rest this weekend? Not get dropped, just have a rest. He's had five very tough weeks against top teams. Yeah, I think it might be time for him to have a spell, and maybe we look at bringing someone else in with a bit of experience, maybe like a Curtis Taylor.
That's interesting. Yeah, possibly. I mean, I was more thinking Curtis Taylor comes in for Tucker on the wing, or Stevens on the wing, neither of whom have done anything since the season started. So I agree with you about Curtis Taylor. I think my opinion on him's changed now, actually. I thought he wasn't going to win his way back into the side before the season started. But now I'm thinking, actually, I know what I'm going to get from him in terms of two-way running. And he busts his guts doing that. So I'm keen to get him back in. I think that's more likely to play that high half forward. It might be wing rather than Dersma's role. But, yeah, that's quite possible that he could fill Dersma's role too. I wouldn't mind if he got a rest, but I think he's still contributing. But and I'm just thinking, look, the sooner we get 40 to 50 games into those guys, the better. If they're not banged up, if they're banged up, absolutely rest them. But if they're not, I just keep playing them. I think they're doing enough. Unless their confidence is starting to go down, then definitely give them a rest. But Dersma, to me, when he gets near the ball, he makes decisive decisions. So I'm happy for him to stay on the side. I'd rather him play than Zerha, to be honest. I know I'm starting to become a very negative Zerha person. I think we've got a lot of these mid-sized forwards in the side. Yeah. So I'd rather work towards the future of those guys rather than what's going to end up being the past.
Yeah, you still want to win. You give yourself a chance to win this week. And
Well, that's a very good point. And this week, I don't want to hear comments like, oh, we could have played this guy in the midfield, but we wanted to give exposure to George, even though he'd get thrashed. We want him to learn and blah, blah. I don't think that's going to wash with the supporters this week. They can't say, well, we could have played Chom forward, but we're trying to teach him to play back and blah. This week, Clarko, you plan to win the game, and that's all that matters, because the supporters are looking to see that we're going to win games sooner or later. Don't tell us that you just teaching them how to play against better players. That's fine against Brisbane. I think we could cop that. But this week, we're looking for a competitive performance, as in we're going to lose. It's going to have to be very close, or we need to win. Mm. So, yeah, I agree with you, Dean, on that. 100% this week. It's going to be about you plan to win the game, and then we'll worry about planning for the future later. We need to win some games.
Well, we might as well go to the Hawks this week, Frank. We kind of knew before round one that our season starts this week. We're hoping to get something against Fremantle, but we obviously didn't. But we got about a quarter and a half. But are you confident that we can get our season going this week, Frank?
I wouldn't say confident, Dean. Just on what we've seen. Again, we always qualify it with the fact that we've had a really tough run against some top-tier teams that nobody would have picked us against. I would have liked to have just seen a little bit more, and maybe I'd be a bit more confident if the margins had been around 7 to 8 goals against, in the last fortnight. Again, I think because it's so based on confidence and that, if we get off to a good start, yeah, I could see us winning this game. So I'm hopeful, Dean. I think rather than expecting to win, I'm hopeful that we're still in it late.
Jesse, I guess now it's not about trying to be competitive in games against the top teams. We're playing the second bottom team. We've got a percentage it's just above ours. I think it's in the 60s or something like that. It's not about trying. It's about getting some wins now and beating teams, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely it is. We have to have an expectation. Every week we've gone, we've had a tough fixture. We've had a tough fixture. Mm. We're up against the tough teams, etc. You tell me a team that we would have been competitive with the way we were playing. You tell me any of the mid-table teams, your Essendon.
Well, no, if we played West Coast against in the Freo game, we probably would have won.
Yeah, yep. Probably would have beaten West Coast in that one half of football that we've played really well for the year. Probably would have beaten West Coast. Probably would have beaten Hawthorn like that. But I guess in the other games since then, I don't think there's many teams that we would have showed anything against. So, I don't buy into the tough fixture because it's always a tough fixture when you're North Melbourne. I think that's just being blunt. We're against the other team who hasn't won a game, who's getting absolutely crucified in the media because, for different reasons to ours, but also similar. They're in a very similar position. If we were to get beaten by the... We have a significantly better midfield than them. I'd argue that we have a better forward line than them, especially if Mitch Lewis is out. So it really just becomes the one thing that they have above us is they have a significantly better defense.
Well, they've got some more experience. They've got some injuries in their back line as well.
They do, they do. And Sicily's out of sorts this year, etc. So, If we were to lose on the weekend, it's going to be who goes in there with the least amount of confidence and who has the better game style. So, if we were ever going to bring that North ball, I'd be doing it this week. This is the opportunity to do it. So,
well, if we're going to lose, I agree with you. If we're going to lose this week, let's lose by being attacking.
Oh, sure. Don't die a slow death against the 17th team. Go out there and actually have a crack. I wouldn't make a massive amount of changes. If I'm going to give the kids a rest or do it next week, I'd still give the kids a crack this week because this is a chance of a win. And if you can give, your Thursday...
Treat it as the final. Treat it as our grand final this week.
Yeah, they have to go in there, with that exact mentality.
They do. Yeah. Mark, losing and winning are habits. And I fear we're in a place mentally we really lack belief that we can win games of football. Leadership is a real issue on the field, not off field. I think things are going pretty well there. If things are not going well in games, besides maybe Harry Sheezel and George Wardlaw, we don't have anyone that can turn the momentum around and get the game back on our terms. That's my concern, Mark. If teams get on a run, we've seen it this year, that they get 8-9 goals conceded against them in quite quick time. And I fear that's going to happen again this week against Hawthorn. Are you concerned about this?
Yeah, 100% I'm concerned about it. So I think Harry Sheezel's the obvious one who is vocal in games when he sees things that aren't acceptable or he sees players in the wrong position, not doing the wrong thing. I think the leaders don't do that. I think that's a massive gap. And I think he knows that. That's why he's voicing it. He will bring some others underneath him So the young guys will follow him, and underneath we'll find two or three vice captains, deputies. So the leadership group will start at Harry Sheezel and work below. And I think Larky is included in that group, okay? Mm. Outside of that, I think the guys 25 and over aren't capable, and that's being shown week in, week out. And I would remove that responsibility for them from them next year, as much as it seems premature. And I think we need to bring in, rather than bring in another 5 18-year-olds into the club next year, I think we're going to have to try, and I know it's not easy, but we need some mature bodies coming into that squad who can help Harry Sheezel and his ilk, like, produce some standards. And they can't be 35-year-olds like Shields or...
No.
We had someone suggest a Collingwood wingman, double premiership wingman, like, he's 35, it's too late. They're not going to... They're coaches at that point. They're not going to be our influence on field. We've got to bring in 26, 27-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 24-year-olds who are high-standard players, first picked in the 22, not guys who are borderline 22. I think we're at that point, and you look at Brisbane, when they jumped up the ladder, they brought in Neil, they got Cameron, they got Danaher, they got, you know, they've got 4 or 5 senior guys that came in that made all the difference. You can't just bring in junior 18-year-olds over and over and over again. They need support, those kids. So I think we're at that point now where I hope during this period of the season and during the off season, all our plans around bringing mid-20s guys in to help, because we're so badly lacking in that area. And I think even the ones we have got, I feel like they're under so much pressure, they're struggling. I think Jai and Luke McDonald are really struggling because they don't have many others, and they've got Corr's probably the other one in that senior group, and they're not coping with it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the area we're lacking. It's the 25 years and older that big-bodied, experienced, stronger bodies, and Geelong just smashed us in that area on the weekend. It was hard to watch. We got bullied. It was like an under-15s team playing against seniors, unfortunately. So I think that's the next thing for us. We're just going to have to bring in some older bodies to help.
Mm. Yeah, no, look, yeah, if you can get, 3 or 4 27, 28-year-olds, even a 30-year-old that's still got a couple of years left in him, then, yeah, it'll definitely make a big difference. And someone with, players with a little bit of leadership out on the field that make the actions do the talking a little bit. But we'll worry about that at the end of the season. We've still got 20-odd weeks left of this season, or 18 weeks or whatever it is. So, yeah, we've got to get through this season first.
Draft.
Yeah, and, we'll see how we go from there. Frank, what's your prediction for this weekend?
Team, what's my prediction? I'm going to say we'll win by 3 goals. I'm going to stay positive and hope three.
Nice. I like it, Frank. What about you, Jesse?
I also think that we can win by a couple goals, and maybe that's my last strain of hope for the year. If we don't win this week, then, you know, I don't know when we're going to win a game. We have to, as Mark said, we have to approach it almost like a grand final to a degree. You know, they're paying $1.40 and we're paying $2.80. So that's what people think about it. Look, really? I think, it's almost close for us. But I think that's, you know, realistically with people. Yeah, we're realistically what people think we're at. I think we're definitely a chance of winning, but we need to show up like we did that first half of the Fremantle game. We need to show some intent. We need to play, you know, players in their preferred position. I wouldn't be using this as a game to, you know, try things. I'd be playing the best people possible and trying to get a win.
Hey, Jesse, just on a side note, you reminded me. I'm a big boxing fan. And in the boxing world, when two fighters that have zero losses meet, they always call it someone's O has got to go. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're in that position that someone's O has got to go on the weekend, but it's not quite the same as the boxing world.
I love the fact
it's Larky's 100th game. We are so lucky that the timing's perfect for that.
Yeah. Hopefully it gives players a bit of boost. I really liked his press conference yesterday. He was really boyish and positive about the future of the club, even though a lot of supporters have lost faith, and even we've probably lost a little bit of faith, that he's still trying to pick people up and saying the right things. So good on him for that. Mark, what's your prediction for this week?
Well, I'll tell you what I will predict. If we lose, there's going to be carnage on social media for about a week, unfortunately. But I don't think we will lose. I think we're going to come out this week and the midfield's going to blow everyone away. And I think Larky will kick 5 or 6. And I think Curtis, who should have kicked 3 or 4 last week, will do that. He's going to be a superstar, by the way. He's an absolute freak talent-wise. I think sometimes we underestimate how good a footballer that guy is. But anyway, I think he'll do well, and I think Larky will do well this week. I think the ball will come in there a lot more often, and the pain that we've all been suffering for a while will come to a brief end.
Well, we certainly hope so. Hopefully we can definitely get our season going on Sunday. Frank, that's all I've got. Did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, don't just I'll be out there on Sunday, and, celebrating Nick's 100th game, and hopefully we can get the points.
Oh, sounds good. What about you, Jesse? Anything else?
Nah, nothing additional to add. I'm just gonna, fingers crossed, we can show up. That's all we can ask for.
Definitely, Mark. What about you?
No, mate. I'm very confident this week. It's all going to turn around. Stay faithful supporters. It's never as bad or as good as it feels.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but they always say you're never as good as you think, and never as bad as you think. It's somewhere in the middle, but we're pretty bad. So, Frank, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, boys.
Jesse, thanks, mate. We'll chat soon.
Thank you for having me.
No dramas. Mark, always a pleasure, and chat next week.
Thanks, Dino.
So thank you very much to those individuals for coming on. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. Telling your friends, that's how the word seems to spread about the show. So, I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform use as well, that would be much appreciated. So I'll be back on Thursday to go through our extended interchange bench teams and go for a bit of a preview against the Hawks this Sunday. I'll try and get Siobhan Rowe. I haven't asked her yet, so I'm sure I'll try and get her on and go from there. Anyways, that's it for me for tonight. Bye for now, and go Roos.